From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns continues the last of three messages entitled, Four Steps in Spiritual Warfare, Lessons in How God Prepared Gideon to Win a Great Victory Over the Midianites. We've already seen how Gideon proved God in the matter of the fleece. Then it was the Lord who proved Gideon by greatly reducing the size of Israel's army. Next, God encouraged his servant by allowing him to overhear a dream experienced by a Midianite soldier, a man who recognized the impending defeat of his army by the sword of Gideon. Of course, the true weapon was the sword of the Lord. That sword is the Word of God, which believers are to know and use in the battle for truth. In preparing his army for battle, Gideon told them to do what he did. In spiritual warfare, God's people are to imitate Christ, to do what he did. That involves battling from outside the camp, underscoring the necessity of separation from sin and unbelief. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, What is Painful Will End. The text is Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 16. I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. Our Heavenly Father seeks our instruction, not our destruction. His contention with us has a kind intention toward us. He will not be always in arms against us. We think the Lord is long in his chastisements, but that's because we are short in our patience. His compassion endureth forever, but not his contention. The night may drag its weary length along, but it must in the end give place to cheerful day. As contention is only for a season, so the wrath which leads to it is only for a small moment. The Lord loves his chosen too well to be always angry with them. If he were to deal with us always as he does sometimes, we should faint outright and go down hopelessly to the gates of death. Courage, dear heart. The Lord will soon end his chiding. Bear up, for the Lord will bear you up and bear you through. He who made you knows how frail you are and how little you can bear. He will handle tenderly that which he has fashioned so delicately. Therefore, be not afraid because of the painful present, for it hastens to a happy future. He that smote you will heal you. His little wrath shall be followed by great mercies.
Thank you.
We often see the word revival on a church marquee, and yet what really constitutes revival? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America, associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the western coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. And yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying out for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak makes available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Can you imagine a soldier with a sword being afraid of a cake of barley bread? Crazy, isn't it? But you see, they knew the hand behind Gideon. The Lord had put his fear into the enemy. And then the Lord had put a sword in his hand that no enemy could stand against. What did the man of Midian say? This is nothing but the sword of Gideon. My friend, let me tell you, God put a sword in the hand of Gideon that all hell has always feared and always will. The Lord has put a sword in the hands of his people. If they will but use this sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I tell you, the devil will fear it and tremble. And the hordes of hell will be defeated. The story of the Christian church and its progress is the story of the sword of the Spirit. Just let this Bible really go to work first in Gideon and then through Gideon, and there's nothing can stand in his way. Not a thing. Reformation history is the history of the progress of the Word of God through Europe. Men were burned at the stake. That didn't stop the progress of the Scriptures. The Bibles themselves were burned, confiscated. Printing houses were destroyed. That didn't stop the progress of the Word of God. God has put a sword in our hand. What a tragedy that so many Christians are so much in ignorance of the word that they hold in their hand. What a tragedy that Christians know a lot about things that will not last. They spend their time and their effort in things that are going to be taken from them, and they will not stand the test of eternity, but they do not know the Word of God. They are not skillful in the use of the Word of God. When the time of crisis or confrontation comes, they don't know the Scriptures well enough to know what Scripture to use, how to use it, and to thrust home the sword of the Spirit. That is tragic. God has put a sword in your hand. Man, get to know the book. Get a grip on the sword. David had a servant by the name of Eleazar. And Eleazar went out to battle and he gripped the sword. And he battled and he battled. And we read that the handle of the sword, it was embedded in the hand of the swordsman so that he couldn't let go. He had got such a grip of the sword that the sword had got a grip of him. And when the hand of the swordsman and the sword become one, when you get a grip of the Bible and the Bible gets a grip of you, then you can begin to do something for God. The great need of the hour. Get a grip of God's Word. Not as an intellectual exercise, but get a grip of it until it embeds itself in your mind, embeds itself in your heart, and embeds itself in your hand so that your thinking, your loving, your willing, and your doing are all directed by the Word. And I tell you, you can do anything God asks you to do. Gideon heard this dream, and there's a beautiful statement that Gideon worshipped. Gideon, listen to this. Verse 15. And he worshipped. Standing there at the camp of Midian, I can see the warrior bow his head. Lord, I'm only a cake of barley bread. But it's the hand of God that directs me. Lord, you've put my fear. I have been fearing them, but they're fearing me. You've put my fear into these people, and you've put a sword in my hand. Gideon accepted God's word, and he worshipped. Let us stand back tonight to be encouraged. You foolish people, you weak people, you who are counted nothing by the world and who count yourselves to be nothing, but who are chosen of God and called in Christ, stand back and take encouragement. Many of you are afraid to do anything much for God. When the opportunity to speak a word for Christ comes, you're afraid to speak. You're afraid to face this person or that person. You're afraid of their learning. You're afraid of their tongue. You're afraid of their ability. You're afraid of this. You're afraid of that. Learn from this, that there's no need for a Christian who knows his God to be afraid of any man. And if you only but knew the truth, the people that you are most afraid of in their heart are afraid of you. Do you ever realize that? The world is afraid, doesn't know how to handle. It's afraid of a man who really knows God. An ungodly man, he may rant at you, he may rave at you, he may curse you, he may stand up against you, but if you could only read his heart, that man doesn't know how to deal with a man who knows God. He feels threatened. He feels the stronghold of his camp of sin is not really strong enough. You've no need to be afraid. When you know the Lord, and oh, when that gets through to your heart, when that really grips your soul, when you have proved God, when God has proved you, and when God has encouraged you to see you need fear no one but the Lord, you're ready for battle. Then the fourth great stage, verse 16 to 21 of chapter 7, is the stage of God enabling or empowering Gideon. One thing that we find here, Gideon goes back to the camp and he says, "Arise, the Lord has delivered Midian into your hand." He was prepared by total obedience. The Lord told him, Gideon, 300 men, no more. He took 300 men. The preparation for war was certainly not the classical preparation that any warrior would have made, not the expected preparation. A trumpet in one hand, a pitcher with a light inside the pitcher in the other hand. Hey, what is this? This is not really an army prepared to battle, is it? Yes, it is. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Gideon, in simple faith, took his 300. He did exactly what the Lord had told him to do. And watch how it worked out. Verse 17. Gideon, if I may just interject a little word before I get to what Gideon did. Gideon says, "You look on me and do likewise." Now, he was the captain of this host. Paul could look at the Church of Christ in his day, said, "Be followers of me as I am of Christ." It was a great responsibility. in being in the battle for God, the great responsibility of leading people. Because they should do what their leader does. They should do what their leader does. And that means he should be doing right. Great responsibility. But I lift this away beyond Gideon. We have a greater captain. And the Lord Jesus would say to us as we're going out into battle, if you would be empowered, I go before you. Look on me and do what I do. The best advice I can give you, if you're ever going to do anything for God, see that the Lord has given you a great captain. Look on him. Run with patience the race that's set before you, looking unto Jesus. Consider Christ, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Get your eyes on him and do what he does. You're not saved by following the pattern and example of Christ, but you do the work of God by following the pattern and the example of Christ. Do what he does. Now then, watch it. If you're going to do what Christ does, verse 17, first and foremost, you'll be outside the camp. You fight what's inside the camp from the outside. There's a great spiritual truth. There's a spiritual law there indeed. God's method is not the method of the neo-evangelical of infiltration. It is not the method of getting in the inside and becoming part of the camp of disobedience and apostasy and letting your light shine from the inside. No, sir, God's method is always for you to be on the outside of the camp. Hebrews 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without or outside the camp. Whatever is inside the camp of the World Council of Churches tonight, whatever is inside the camp of the great harlot religion of Romanism tonight, whatever is inside the camp of religious inclusivism and religious compromise, whatever is there, and there's a lot, there are people, there are multiplied numbers, there is political clout, there is economic power, all that is inside the camp, but Jesus Christ is on the outside. You can go the way of the compromiser, but you will go that way in disobedience to Christ. Get outside the camp. A separated life, a separated position, a separated stand. Not just, I'm a member of the local independent fundamental pre-tribulation, pre-this, pre-the other thing, fundamental church. Good to be a member of a separated fundamental church, but don't think that makes you a separatist. Some of the greatest and filthiest compromisers in the world are in our fundamental churches. And I say they're all the filthier because they have less excuse. Yes, your denominational and your local church affiliation should reflect your separation, but separation is a matter of you being outside the camp in personal, vital communion with Jesus Christ, looking unto him and doing what he would have you do as you live by the pattern of Christ. You're not a separatist unless you're following him. Outside the camp.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.